In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, well, it's nice to be talking to you all again. Specifically, Mike had said to me, Mike, you're there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
I heard you. You're there. Mike had said to me earlier this week, and we're back again after only 1 week. We're not taking a break again, which is awesome. We might next week, depending on all the different things that happen. There's a lot of things up in the air with families and other stuff. I have more people coming to my house for Thanksgiving than I originally anticipated.
Oh, man.
Yeah, my dad was going to come because both of my sisters who live locally had some things going on, and one of the sisters, the youngest one, is being corralled into cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the first time ever for her husband's family.
Oh, really?
So she can have fun with that. Yeah, I don't think she's ever really cooked a full Thanksgiving dinner before. So, I'll be there if she wants to call, although I can only help her so much when it comes to turkey, because I do my turkey my way, and any other way I just think is improper and incorrect. And, except for deep frying, I'm a full fan of deep fried chicken. However, I will not do it myself for the main reason that I don't want to burn to death and burn my house down. Yes, I know there are safe ways to do it, but I ain't fucking with super hot oil and fire. That's just no. I stay away from that. My method works fine. I'm more than happy with my method. But then the other sister, her plans kind of fell apart and got all weird, so she's going to be here too. So it's going to be like, this is fun. All right.
Yeah, it's really funny, actually. My wife and I were actually out doing our pre-Thanksgiving preparation shopping last night, because we want to beat the fat rush. Like, we know the fat rush is coming. We just want to stop that from happening entirely. And
hold on. Is that what you call it when I go shopping? The fat rush? Thank you, Mike.
No, that's, oh my God. No, what the hell? But yeah, I was, dude, you killed my train of thought. I was seeing, like, Walmart had like $54 deep, like turkey deep fryers specifically for frying turkey.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were that cheap. I thought they'd be way more expensive. What is that, like $50? Is that like a one-time use deal and then you never use it again and buy a new one next year?
Here's the thing about it is all a deep fryer for a turkey is just basically a metal canister. You put the oil in, peanut oil, by the way. And you have to have fire underneath it. So the frame, it may come with the frame, but you need the frame to prop it up. And then you have to have the fire to go underneath it. Now, it comes with all of that. That's a damn good price. And I would be questioning the amount of it. But, I mean,
I'm not sure that a $54 deep fryer from Walmart is entirely trustworthy. Just saying.
I wouldn't trust it, but again, I don't deep fry my turkey. I have my turkey pan, and it's a very good turkey pan, and I do the turkey in the turkey pan.
Yeah,
that was the way I said that sounded weird. I felt very pseudo presidential, orangey presidential, the way I said that. Anyway, we're not going to touch on that topic too much. Don't worry, Mike.
I'm avoiding that entirely. I almost went into impersonation mode myself. I don't necessarily want to do that though.
I almost did too in the process of saying that. I was talking about my turkey pan that I had.
You know what? Like, he's a
great turkey pan.
He's one of those. Yeah,
I love my turkey pan.
Damn it! You had to go for it.
I had to.
He's one of those bad impersonations that everybody does at a party. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's one of those ones. I try to avoid that entirely.
But
I'll stick with Christopher Walken and then call it from there.
It'll be a fun Thanksgiving, because at least I get all the things that I want for Thanksgiving. But yeah, there's things up in the air for all of us. So we may not do a podcast next Friday, just to prepare. So we're here tonight, and Mike had mentioned to me throughout the week that we really needed to talk about at the beginning of the podcast, the fact that we are having still some really elevated numbers on our YouTube, specifically views, right?
I don't know. It's not necessarily YouTube views themselves. I don't know. I haven't looked at the YouTube stats for Xennial Chronicles. But what I do know is we are getting elevated podcast plays overall. And I think it's just straight audio. But I don't know where the source is. And we are getting a continued increase. So we wanted to say, whoever you are, wherever you are, because we can't find it. We can't find where who's listening to us, but thank you. Like, seriously, it's pretty incredible to see the amount of, well, not necessarily like we're not getting response or anything like that too. People aren't like commenting, but numbers. I mean, a lot of the time, yeah, we're getting people listening to us, and we both think that's absolutely fantastic.
Because I can tell you, on at least from the people that I know that I've told about the podcast, the only people that listen to us regularly are listener Alex. I'll say his name. If you're listening, listener Alex, you know who you are, and you've talked to me about the podcast while you're listening to it, and that's flipping fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely love you for it. And my dad, at least those are the only ones that report to me listening to it. And my dad just listens to it to offer me corrections on the things that he thinks that I said wrong, especially in family stories. And I either tell him, that, okay, I maybe exaggerated a tiny bit to make the story sound better. Or I say, you're an old man and you don't freaking remember. This is how it happened.
You know, I don't think I've actually seen a response. Like, I think it's been a while since I've heard some response from my family on some of these podcasts personally,
which is fine. But again, there's at least numbers showing in the digital world that somebody is listening. So thank you. And yeah. also if you can go to YouTube, comment on the videos, go to Facebook, find us on Facebook, follow us on there. Try to comment on there, because we Mike posts the videos on the links to YouTube videos on Facebook every time we put the podcast out. I don't know if Twitter's going to exist by next week,
dude. Okay,
or what? So
just to say, like, yeah, absolutely. It is. Wow, it's happening so fast. Everything that's happening to Twitter is happening in like breakneck speed. I feel like what was really funny is like it's only been like about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks that I was trying to find a social media app that was less we can be real about this. Facebook at times can be somewhat incendiary, and it's not the platform, it's what the platform shows you. Because it garners interaction, and it's been like that for years. And so I wanted something that I didn't necessarily want to worry about. With Twitter, it was great because I was legit following people I was only interested in. I rarely got any recommendations from anyone else unless it was somebody that I followed following said other person. And that person's following like Samuel L. Jackson, or they're following Mark Hamill or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, bitching people. So that's the kind of response that I'm getting on Twitter. My Twitter feed was great. So I decided to start like using it more often and trying to, you know, figure out who do I interact with? How do I interact? How do I get, when I start sharing, like I started trying to get back into making videos again and on YouTube and like sharing those on Twitter and stuff. And it was kind of a big deal, but then like right when I got into this, like 2 or 3 days later, all of a sudden Musk buys Twitter and there's a mass exodus of employees and blah, 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 blah. It's like I drove my car up to go take a look at a yard sale and the building burst into flames in front of me while I was parked in front of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm throwing yard sale in there, didn't you?
No, that wasn't necessarily on purpose. Funny enough, but no, like it was. but it was really like that's what's happening, and I still can't wrap my head entirely around it. It's so crazy because it was the biggest, like It took place of customer service lines, man. It was the biggest interaction platform for representative companies to talk to their consumer base. And it's just on fire. Like, it's like a, it looks like a fireworks shop that just, it's just things are exploding everywhere. It's so weird.
I'm sure there's a purpose for it, but we're not going to talk about that here. We're just saying, if you're listening from wherever you're listening from, find one of those avenues and let us know. We want to know if you're listening, if you like it, even if you don't like it, that's okay. We're big boys. We can handle it.
Well, if you don't like it, don't listen to it.
We just
want to
know if you're listening.
Yeah. But yeah, I think
that's...
What were
you going to say? That I'm a bigger boy than you? I know. I'm fat. Get over it, Mike.
No, I didn't know. You didn't hear me, did you?
All the fat jokes. Come on.
Sir, you are the one bringing the fat jokes up.
Yeah, because then I do it before you do, and then you don't get the opportunity to.
Okay, Kevin Smith.
Exactly. Speaking of which...
Which he says now that he's like, 300 pounds less than he was?
Well, I know I told you last week at the after we finished the podcast that I did finally watch Clerks 3.
You did tell me that.
Interesting
movie.
I did
not see it. Do not spoil it for me. I still want to see it. I have to find a streaming platform I can see it on.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. You actually have to, at this point, it's still, you still have to buy it or rent it from one of the platforms. It's not for free. We bought it on... oh God, whichever that one is that you, when you buy DVDs, you can get the digital copies on. I forget what it's called.
Oh, cool. Like Roku or something like that.
Is Roku
still a thing? I can't remember.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We bought it on one of those because we have a huge account on those because every time we get any kind of DVDs that are newer DVDs, because again, I'm a product whore. I have to buy the actual products. Which is why records are the perfect thing for me. Every record that I have currently is an album that I already have in my iPod. It doesn't matter. I still am buying all of them, which we'll talk about in a minute.
I was going to say, I got a few things to say about that. I think it's fucking killer right now.
We get the digital copies of almost everything. So we have tons of Disney movies. There's like 10 Godzilla movies because I'm a kid. He got all the Alien movies and all the Predator movies recently. So we have all of those on there because he's a huge fan of the Alien movies.
Nice.
Finally, after years and years of trying to get my wife to watch the Alien movies, he finally convinced her to watch the Alien movies. And it was very interesting to hear her thoughts on the Alien movies in the sense that, the first one was all right, but it was really slow moving. The second one was awesome. The third one, what the hell was going on with that one? The fourth one, it seemed familiar to me. And I'm laughing as she's saying all these things because, like, yeah, the first one is slow and boring. The second one you like because you like James Cameron and you like almost everything that James Cameron directs. So that makes perfect sense. The third one was really weird movie. And the fourth one was written by the guy who did Firefly. And it was actually the group that's on the crew that's a part of that story was basically a template for the Firefly crew. And she loved Firefly and the subsequent movie, Serenity. So everything she's saying, it's like, I know all of this makes perfect sense to me because what you're describing is the behind the scenes stuff that you just don't know about. And that's amazing. That's so funny.
Wait a minute. Are you talking Alien Resurrection?
Yeah, Alien Resurrection.
Holy shit, Joss Whedon did write that. I did not know that.
And if you watch that again, go watch it again and look at the crew. The crew is basically a prototype of what will come as the Serenity crew.
Oh wow. Okay. Wow.
It's not exactly the same, but you can see so many similar characteristics to what will be the crew. And you just have to look at it kind of from the side and like, oh yeah, okay, I see some of the connections here. It's not exact, but it's definitely, you can see the prototype of this weird ship's crew and kind of similar roles for various people in it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's pretty cool. Okay. I didn't know that. That's fantastic. Huh. I'm gonna have to take look at that again, because yeah, Firefly was great.
It was. But you know, it's one of those things. Firefly was great, but the thing about that is there was only one season of Firefly. The one season was great and fantastic. But would the second season have been great and fantastic? The movie was all right. But would the second season, or the third season, or the fourth season? We don't know, but the first season was good. That's the one thing we know.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to, if you're going to look at like other series like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they were great for like, what, 4 or 5 seasons, and then they just tanked hard, didn't they?
Yeah, and I mean, it's arguable whether Angel was ever good.
Yeah, absolutely. And then,
I mean, I've watched almost all of Angel, and interestingly, my wife loved Angel. She did not love Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh wow, that was really, you know, my wife actually, I showed her like the opening, like the first season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and she immediately got into it because I was like, "You've never seen this?" Like my parents used to watch this all the time on, you know, WB. I was like, "I see this," so I showed her on Netflix, and she ended up marathoning the entire thing on her own.
Speaking of which, I think I have, I think I may have almost the entire set of Buffy on DVD.
Oh, nice.
One day at a thrift store.
Nice.
I'll see if my wife maybe wants to part with it, and if you'd be interested, we might be able to work out a deal.
That is potentially negotiable. Yeah. We'll see.
Especially, you know, there's items on the market with that.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to leave that as a secret and be like, what items are on the market? What's happening? Is James selling a kidney? No, they can't get to the kidney.
They can't too get
much
to the kidney.
Too much blubber to cut through.
Oh, my God.
It's one of those days. I'm sorry. The fat jokes are just in my brain.
It's there. It's there. It's happening.
Do you know why they're in my brain?
Why?
Because of all the fat tissue.
Oh, my God. It just keeps going, don't it?
I mean, I had a hamburger, fries, and a coffee-flavored shake for lunch. So, yeah, it's in my brain. Anyway, what were we talking about? You lost me. Oh, yes, people, please, comment. That's where we were at, right?
Yes.
No, Kevin Smith, there's where we were.
No, we went tangent upon tangent upon tangent. The point of the conversation was more somewhat of a call to action. Like, let us know where you're from, where you're, I know that at least from the site.
I changed it. Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, I know at least from the site, because I do the uploads, I mix this stuff, I throw the upload up after everything's done. So when I do that, I do everything I can to allow comments, which means that if anybody who's listening, if you're listening to it on the Xenial Chronicles website, especially, or on YouTube, you can leave a comment. Let us know what platform you're using, and we'll keep an eye out. So, you know, we know where it's coming from, and hopefully, you know, that would be great to know. And also where you're listening from.
Yeah. We'll do shout outs.
Absolutely.
People. If you want us to talk about specific things, depending on what they are, I mean, I'll pretty much talk about anything.
You know what? I think that would actually be a great idea. Because
Mike may take a little more convincing, depending on how salacious the subject matter is.
But I mean, okay, perv. But if you want, you guys can. If you want, like,
I own that title.
Yes, you do. But like I'm saying earlier, like, if there's anything that you guys find particularly interesting that maybe are centered around, you know, when we were kids or what our opinion is based on, you know, certain things that are happening today that may be based in some stuff that happened around, you know, our upbringing or stuff like that, let us know. If you got any ideas, any topics you want us to talk about and see what our opinions are on them, please leave a comment and let us know. And we would love to take a look at it and see what we can, you know, maybe you'll hear us talk about it on one of these shows.
So, now the transition. Right?
Yes?
Okay. We're going to transition into, obviously, as we've been doing recently.
Hell of a segue.
I'm great at these. The discussions of, you know, what's happened during the week, what fun things have we found, what new things have we gotten involved in. I can say that I was able to pull a bit of a trick last week on my wife. It's been talked about very often here on the podcast how much I love, obviously, Star Wars.
Yes.
How much I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter, these are all the, but speaking specifically about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, last week was the opening of Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever.
Nice.
I was very careful in mentioning to my wife, hey, we're going out and do a little date time on Saturday. You want to go see a movie? Yeah, what's playing? Well, Wakanda Forever is playing. I made very careful to not mention to her, because she really doesn't pay attention to when movies come out. I was very, very careful not to tell her that it was the opening weekend for the movie.
Oh.
Because she prefers to avoid opening weekends. Like, when the Star Wars movies have opening weekend, I go the opening day, and then the next day I take my oldest son to go with me, because we have that shared love of Star Wars. So it's very rare that she wants to go. She doesn't like opening weekend. She wants to go a couple of weekends later, sometimes waits till, you know, one of the last couple of weekends that it's still in the theaters, because she'd rather not deal with all the huge crowds at the movie theaters. They annoy her. And admittedly, she's got reason for it, because we had some really annoying people in the theater that were talking constantly throughout the movie and making commentary loud enough for everybody to hear. Which is, to me, that's like, you know, that's like falling asleep and snoring in church, as far as I'm concerned. It's that level of disrespect. I was like, hey, you don't want to go see Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever? And she has hit on a few specific films and series within the Marvel Cinematic stuff that she really, really likes. Like, I tried to get her to watch all the various series. She kind of liked the Hawkeye series. She kind of liked the WandaVision, especially with the way that WandaVision was shot, the way that they did the episodes. Mm-hmm. She loved seeing the kind of homage to television that the show really was. And then the actual plot reason why it was done that way, which was fantastic. But Falcon and the Winter Soldier, she didn't watch any of that. She really did like, though, really liked, to the point like she was obsessed over it. She liked Moon Knight. Like, total 100% like Moon Knight.
Okay.
I don't know if it's an Oscar Isaacs thing or an Ethan Hawke thing, or if she just liked the idea of Moon Knight, because as we've discussed on here, he's kind of Marvel's kind of version of Batman, except he actually does have the whole origin of his character as having supernatural powers being connected to a deity. Whereas, yes, that has happened to Batman, but his origin is just some rich dude that's got gadgets and trained a shit ton in various martial arts.
I mean, technically, yes.
Yeah.
So, you're not wrong.
But that's the thing, is the literal origin of Moon Knight is he is basically possessed by a freaking Egyptian deity. So
right.
That is the difference between them. Also, he's got dissociative identity disorder,
yeah.
Which Bruce Wayne is fucked up, but he doesn't have DID. So
technically speaking, he did do the Zur-En-Arr thing at one point.
I believe
Zur-En-Arr is a, it's kind of funny because it's not like a deity thing, but it is a made-up identity used as a fail-safe for if somebody were to psychologically break him.
I get, but again, not the core of his character, not
right.
Not the origin and core of his character.
Right.
So they are different. But
yeah,
she loved Moon Knight. It's an interesting series because, again, it does the whole blending of the action and the heavy stuff with comedy. And she absolutely fell in love with it, and had found herself a couple of the Funko Pops that were related to it. But that was one of those very much like the Bram Stoker's Dracula ones, which, again, big obsession for her, that she was not content with just the one or two that she got. She had to get the entire set. And so there's kind of a hunt on for that set. She ended up getting, she did end up getting it. I think she's missing one from it, and they didn't do, there's a couple of, Egyptian deities that are dealt with within the show. Khonshu being the main one that controls or basically gives the power to and somewhat controls Moon Knight. Mm-hmm. And then there's two other ones that I can't remember the name of now, but one of them is a crocodile deity. The other one is a hippo deity.
Okay.
And the one pop they didn't make was for the hippo deity, and that's like the worst thing humanly possible because that's one of the best characters in the series. The hippo deity is freaking hilarious. Toweret. That's the hippo deity's name.
Okay.
Toweret. Hilarious. Absolutely the best one to me, the best part of the series, because she's so funny throughout the entire thing. Through the episodes that she's in. Mm-hmm. Freaking hilarious. For being an Egyptian god, she's just funny as shit. So that's the only one that they didn't make, but she was getting those. So there's, like I say, there's these few that she obsesses over. As far as the movies go, Doctor Strange is one of her, is her favorite. The two Doctor Strange movies are mm-hmm. her favorite of the movies. Secondary to the Doctor Strange ones was the original Black Panther. And, oh, okay. She just, those are the ones that she liked more than any of the others. So she was interested. I knew she was interested in seeing the new Black Panther. I know she's always been a big fan of Angela Bassett, so that helps. So I convinced her to go see the new Black Panther. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give anything away. We're only a week of it being out.
Right.
There are spoilers all over the place. The one thing I will say is they do justice to the loss of Chadwick Boseman. The entire movie is literally about the people of Wakanda and specifically his mom and his sister dealing with the loss of the character of T'Challa, his character. I mean, I'll give away the fact that the movie opens. It does, you know, like many Marvel movies do now, they do what would be referred to in like TV, a cold open. And then they run the, you know, they run the Marvel logo and the logo for, you know, the title for the movie. The opening of the movie is the character of T'Challa dying, not giving much away, and them trying to figure out a way to save him. And of course they don't, because he has to be dead because Chadwick's not there.
Right.
And they did not recast it.
Right.
And so they thrust you into heavy, heavy emotion from the very beginning of the movie. And then it's, you're having to process your grief with it, just as they're having to process their grief and all the things that happen within it. They do change up the character of Namor, who is, basically was the Marvel's,
Submariner?
Marvel's answer in many ways to Aquaman.
Yeah.
And what I find neat about it is Namor's character in the Marvel comics, he is part white. North American. I don't know if he's, I don't remember if his father is from the US or Canada, but he's North American. Mm-hmm. So he's half white North American, half Atlantean. Well, DC took care of, DC and Marvel have always had the competition back and forth with things. And DC has more been using the Atlantean thing with Aquaman. So they strayed away from Atlantean with this, which I kind of like.
Okay.
And just like, and I think it was a very smart move on the part of DC, amazing casting with Jason Momoa, to make Aquaman, instead of being just some random white dude with blonde hair that's half Atlantean, half, you know, human,
mm-hmm.
they bring in that Pacific Islander thing. They bring in Temuera Morrison, who is, you know, one of my favorite actors ever. They bring him in to play Aquaman's dad and give you that solid background with mm-hmm. him being Maori, give you that solid background of a Pacific Islander with a really, really good actor. By the way, that is, in case you don't know, that's also the guy who plays Boba Fett in the,
Okay.
In the Boba Fett series. And yeah. He played Jango Fett in, episode, two.
Cool.
The only one he was alive in.
Cool.
So, I love the fact that they did that, because they, by making him part Pacific Islander, that helps associate the idea that he is somebody that has the connection to the ocean in a different way, a cultural connection on both sides, not just from the Atlantean side, but from his human side as well, still with a people that the ocean is has a connection to them in that way, as part of their culture. Hmm. And then Momoa is just freaking awesome.
Right.
This, they went a whole different route with the Namor character.
Okay.
They actually bringing in another underrepresented in many ways, ethnic group. They actually made Namor and his people, they're either Aztec or Inca, and they escape from the Yucatan Peninsula during the time frame where the conquistadors were coming over from Europe.
Oh wow! Okay.
And wow. Part of the story is their tribe, their group dying of smallpox and trying to figure out a way to live and finding something that is able to, it changes all of their bodies to make them be able to adapt underwater. But something different happens with Namor because of different reasons. So he gets the wings on his ankles, which is part of his original character mm-hmm. in the comics. He gets the wings on his ankles, and he can exist above water and below water. Whereas his people have to, if they come above the water, they have to use equipment to make it so that they can be above water, which is handled in a great way. But the culture of them is Mesoamerican culture. And like 400-year-old Mesoamerican culture. And so if you've seen any of the pictures of Namor, he's got kind of that Aztec Inca look in the things that he's wearing. Oh. And it adds a totally different viewpoint to what's going on with him and his people. And so a really good way of doing a slight change. This is one of those examples where they do a change in the race or ethnicity of a character, and by doing it actually add other better elements to the story and make it a richer character. And the guy who plays Namor, I've never seen him in anything before, but damn, he's good.
Really? Okay.
Very, very good. And it's an interesting movie. Lot of action. Biggest thing is, it's a 2-hour-and-45-minute long movie.
Holy shit, really? That's huge.
Which we did not know going into it.
And it's nonstop, too? No intermission or anything like that?
No intermission, nonstop, and for the most part, fairly action-packed. Plot moves along really quickly, but there are at least 3 or 4 major moments in the movie that are, like, starting with the very beginning of the movie, that are, like, cry fest moments in the movie.
Oh, of course.
I mean, the only time I've cried as much in a Marvel movie is when I first watched Endgame in the theater. And you know, that movie's how many years old now? We you know, it's been a plot point in all the other ones since then. When Iron Man died, because nobody knew, I was there. That one I did get to go opening day for, because I wasn't there was no way she was stopping me from doing that.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, you kind of knew it was going to happen, but the word hadn't fully gotten out yet. And yeah, when Iron Man dies, it started when Cap says the line, when Cap finally says the line that's been teased forever.
Right.
When he pulls the Avengers Assemble line and they charge on Thanos' people, forget it. I lost it. I was crying from that moment on. And then I had just stopped when Iron Man died and I started crying again.
Funny,
you mentioned Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith got derided recently, just this last week, because he talked about the fact that he was crying throughout Wakanda Forever. And people were, like, attacking him on different social media platforms for always. He's always watching movies and talking about crying watching the movies.
Yeah,
okay, we get it. You're emotional.
Okay, but anyway. So let him talk about it. Like, don't listen to him. Like, yeah. Don't listen to the guy. If that's the case, if it bugs you that much, then don't listen. You could just as well not listen as well. You could not be an asshole and let the guy fucking talk about what he talks about. You know how many millions of people listen to that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that guy's... Well, yeah. It's obvious that nobody else fucking minds that shit.
Well, and the thing is, he is one of those people that has been waiting for some of these stories to be told in that type of fashion. He's been imagining them by reading the books for years. He's been waiting for one of those stories to happen for such a long time. And to see some of these things happen and the way that they deal with them. I mean, I remember, I'm sure you remember, especially being more of a DC fan than even I am. Because again, it's always been Marvel over DC for me, but doesn't mean I still didn't love DC. I remember finding out in the news that just in the comics, finally, I mean, comic book characters die all the time. They die, they're reborn, all these things happen. But one comic book character that, you know, up until a certain point in our lifetime that had never died was fucking Superman.
Yeah.
And when Superman died, he died in the comic book, but I remember just being like, what the how do we live in a world where Superman is dead? He's a fucking comic book character. Yes, the Christopher Reeve movies had come out and there had been the TV shows. But at that point, it was like, he's a fucking comic book character. Why are you so emotional over a comic book character dying? Because he's fucking Superman.
Yeah.
That's why. He doesn't die.
I remember how old I was when that book came out. I remembered reading the comic in class. It was like a recess break or something like that that we had in the class. And somebody showed us and I could not believe what I was seeing. I couldn't believe it. I was in fourth grade, if I remember correctly, and it was all over. Dude, it made local news, man. This shit was on KCRA. Superman's dead. Yeah, and not just national news, but like even local. The thing that gets you is when something happens way out somewhere or something happens on a national level that like a lot of national news doesn't hit local. But when your local station makes a mention about the death of Superman, which the guy's died and come back now like an umpteen stupid ass amount of times, but he survived the crisis on Infinite Earths. Like he was like the one of the few that were proven to not have anything crazy happen to him in any universe that had existed up to that point. When he died, that's the first time that you had the capability that he was seen as immortal. He was essentially an all-powerful being. Yeah. So when he died, that was big-ass news when it happened the first time.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, that's the ending to any argument whether Superman can beat whatever anime thing that everybody wants to try to put Superman up against, see is more powerful. Superman has died. Yes, he came back, but he has died.
You know what's funny about that? He may have quote-unquote died, but he actually didn't die.
Yes, I know. I have the novelization of the life and death of Superman, so yes, I know he didn't technically die.
Right, and well, that's what people put out the argument. All he needed to have happen was to
be put out in the sun for a little while.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is just because a character, and this is where I think it's, and you know exactly which character I'm talking about here, because people make that argument till they're blue in the face. And there are multiple different comics companies and manga companies that make that argument. But the problem is that you've never actually put one of those characters through their paces to where they have proven that they can't. That character, specifically who we're talking about, has never been put into a situation where they were in actual danger. And they have died, by the way, multiple times. And have come back. They have died and come back, actually. That was actually one of the first major things that happens. So, I'll just say it. We're talking about the argument between Goku and Superman. I can't believe we're bringing this up now, but fuck it, why not? People are saying that Goku could kick the shit out of Superman because Superman has died and Goku hasn't. Except he has, and he has multiple fucking times. That was one of the first things that happened in, like, 1989 when Dragon Ball Z first came out. Goku gets a blast through his chest, like holding somebody else, and sacrifices himself in order to kill someone else and defend his family.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't know because I'm too cool to watch Dragon Ball Z.
Okay. Okay, sure.
Actually, I little funny story. I worked with a guy years ago when I worked at the Orange Apron place, Home Depot. I worked with a guy there who was a massively huge Dragon Ball Z fan, and he knew that I was into comic books and Star Wars and all of that. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, this is back in the early aughts. So Spider-Man was out, but that was, you know, kind of it as far as the, you know, the superhero revival hadn't completely. I think Fantastic Four was out. The two bad, but not that bad, Fantastic Four movies were, you know, out, or at least one of them was. Mm-hmm. And so he kept trying so hard to get me to watch Dragon Ball Z over and over and over and over again. And it would be constant back and forth with him and I. But he was a lot of fun about it. But apparently where he was from, it was a huger thing. Because he was not from the United States.
Right.
What was funny about this is the area that I was working in, the city that I was working in, has a very, very large Indian and Pakistani population. Mm-hmm. Very large. It has the second largest Sikh temple in the entire world.
Yeah.
Outside the city limits.
Yeah.
Right at the edge of city limits.
Yeah.
So there's a very large Indian and Pakistani population there. Proportionately to many other areas. And his family was Indian. But he had been born and raised in London.
Oh, cool.
So he had a super, super thick British accent, like Cockney accent.
Okay.
And he identified as being British. He was British.
Okay.
And apparently in England, Dragon Ball Z was a huge big deal.
Uh-huh.
And so what would punctuate these conversations about Dragon Ball Z and me saying, no, I'm not going to watch that stupid thing. No, it's the greatest thing. And him trying to tell me about it and me just shooting it down. What would punctuate that would be me telling him that he needs to take that stupid Dragon Ball Z and go back to his own country.
Oh my God.
And the beauty of it was
I was talking to him
as an American to a Brit.
Right.
So
but you're talking to a, okay, hold on. You're talking to a British born Indian dude who, about a Japanese, about a Japanese story series, like basically and a Japanese soap opera.
He was trying to tell me about the Dragon Ball thing, but there was also this American British rivalry going between us. So that's what it
of
would
course.
Take.
So that's the I think you've mentioned this before, and yes. It's just the play on words is the fact that you're talking about Britain, and then you look like a dumb American racist.
Yeah, it was great that people would look at it like, you can't say that to him. Why? He's British. I'm telling him to go back to England. What? Yeah, he's British. Ask him. He goes, yeah, I'm British. And I'm like, see? So it was really fun. It would always be really fun around the 4th of July because he'd hit in more because he knew that around the 4th of July it would be, hey, it's the day that we kicked your butts and sent you back across the Atlantic. We let you win. We are tired of dealing with your stupid selves.
I love it.
It was great. It was so great. But yeah, he tried to get me into Dragon Ball Z years ago. Never happened because, you know, I'm cooler than that.
It's, but anyway. Of course, no. Dude, okay, to be completely honest, it's really funny. I have told people, like, I am not a diehard. I'm a passing fan of Dragon Ball. I haven't seen any of the new series. I think there's certain things about it that are kind of interesting. But, dude, you want to know what the episodes sound like? The episodes sound like two dudes talking about how powerful they are for three episodes before a punch is thrown. And it's narrated.
I know.
And nothing fucking happens, and then somebody dies. And that's it. That is all that happens in every fucking episode I've ever seen. The best way to watch it is they trim all the fat and they get straight to the action. The series is called the Kai series, so it's Dragon Ball Z Kai. And they've done every season in the Z series, and they cut, like, all the fat. But apparently the new series that have come out, they learned their lesson, and now it's a lot more fast-paced, and it's actually moving. You see proper character development and all that kind of stuff, apparently, from what I've seen. I don't know. I haven't seen the new series. But anytime I tell somebody, and I am not really like the biggest manga fan at all, I have never been able to sit through a manga series or an anime series of any type. It just, it doesn't, there's nothing that holds me. There's fucking there's fucking superpowered dramas about basketball and shit. Like, in those, don't get me wrong, like, I am not trying to knock anybody who likes that stuff. I'm not. But, like, I look at the sensationalization of it, and I can't wrap my head around why it's so dramatic. And there are some series that have beautiful animation, but the animation, it just feels like that's the only thing that really does it for me. The last, you give me any of the films, like any of this, like Akira, yeah, or anything by Miyazaki, and they are fucking amazing films. They're beautifully animated. They're great stories. The dialogue is a bit hit or miss because of the translation, but that's the only reason why. You can get past that and actually watch the film because of how well it's done.
Just so you know, I pronounce it the American way, Akira.
I know. That's not the way it's pronounced because it's from Japan. It's called Akira.
I know.
Yeah,
but
I know.
But I'm not from Japan.
Well, then don't speak Japanese.
I'm not trying to. I'm just saying.
I know what it's pronounced, and so I will call it that. But
well, and back, I'll admit, back in the day, I did watch what were at the time the back when I was a teenager, what were the leading anime movies at the time. Of course, I saw Ghost in the Shell, the original animated. I did not watch the Scarlett Johansson movie. I did see Fist of the North Star, which is still one of my favorites.
I never really got into Fist of the North Star either.
You've not seen Fist of the North Star?
No, never seen it.
Oh, that's terrible animation and super, super bloody, and basically the same type of thing as Dragon Ball Z. It's a bunch of people talking about beating the crap out of each other, and then they do, and it's bloody as hell.
It's not necessarily bloody with Dragon Ball. Like, there are some, I will tell you that I've seen some of the original translation stuff. Like, the stuff that came out on network and cable TV out here in the 90s was so chopped up to shit, it was crazy. Honestly, I will say that a lot of the Sailor Moon stuff I've seen is really interesting. There is some really interesting, very controversial storytelling that was censored to just high hell in the States. And
well, yeah, the gay and bisexual subplots.
There were a lot of those. But how do you fucking take? I don't know if you know exactly what they did. How do you take lovers and turn them into cousins and not make that shit awkward as hell? Because I remember seeing those and going, those cousins are really affectionate, and that's very off-putting.
Yeah.
And I'm like 14.
I never watched it, but I do know that that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
But one of my favorites was always one called, I'm not pronouncing it right, because again, I don't know the right pronunciation, but it's I knew it as Riri, R-E-I-R-E-I, probably Ray Ray or something like that.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I'm not that familiar with that series.
If you ever get a chance to watch that one, holy shit, that was a thing. That was a weird ass movie. Recently I saw
Ranma 1-2 is a weird one too. That one's off putting too. I think it's it's weird. Just go check it out. It will I don't know if there's any subtext to it. I've only seen like one or two episodes. It's entertaining, but it is also very strange.
Riri's got a naked dwarf. So seriously, it's a weird ass movie.
It's fantastic. But there's not a lot of anime series that I've really been able to sit through and enjoy. And I watched
a few of the movies recently only because, again, the oldest child, who is the Godzilla fanatic, is also into a lot of different anime movies. And I watched one recently that was it was called Belle. And it was a kind of modern retelling Beauty and the Beast type story. Mm-hmm. Loosely Beauty and the Beast. I mean, it's very evident that that's what they're going for in it, because that's exactly what it is. But it's using the platform, it's basically using like what they're trying to create as the metaverse. Neal Stephenson, thank you for that title. For those of you who don't know Neal Stephenson, look up Neal Stephenson. He's a writer. Wrote some of the early books that really inspired the internet, including inspiring Google Earth. and any type of massive online game where you have an avatar that you use as your character, and you customize that avatar to look how you want it to look. That is all based on the book Snow Crash that Neal Stephenson wrote. So great book, go check it out. Anyway, this is the story takes place in the real world and in this metaverse type thing where everybody has their avatars that they interact with, and popularity of the avatars and ranking of them by other people. And so it's a very, very interesting commentary on the way the world is going, and these facades that people use to interact online and their real selves, and how it, you know, the changes and interactions within that. It's fantastically done, beautiful music, even though the whole movie, the version I saw was Japanese with subtitles. So the singing that happens, the main character in there, one of the things that their avatar does in this world is sing. She sings naturally, so it's her actual real singing voice. Mm-hmm. You know, the character in reality, it's her real singing voice, but with the avatar. Absolutely beautiful singing. I don't know what's being sung other than reading the words, and obviously it doesn't rhyme and make sense in English, but it sounds beautiful as hell. And it was an amazing movie that again I'll Kevin Smith this. It brought tears to my eyes with how beautiful the movie was put together. Cool. Little weird on the way that it told the story, but again, American audience watching a Japanese movie, we tell stories differently. And so there's beats that we expect in stories that didn't quite happen in this story that, like, I would have expected them to happen. But I can chalk that up to the fact that we tell stories in different ways, and they may not need to hit all the beats that we do, or beats that are hit are stuff that's maybe too subtle for American audiences, or we don't get it in the same way.
Right.
But still fantastic movie. Very, very good music. Very amazing. Absolutely amazing animation throughout. But yeah, you know, why did we get started on talking about anime? I blame you.
Shifting
gears. So we saw the Wakanda Forever.
Okay.
The wife did like it, even though it was 2 hours and 45 minutes long. And so we did our normal shopping, got to the fun record store that you and I both, have, liked to patronize, the one that you told me about.
Yeah.
And came across some interesting records. Now, the last podcast, I had talked about the fact that my wife had found Dangerous, Michael Jackson's Dangerous album on record.
Yes, you told me that.
And the fact that that was one of the first, you know, cassettes that I bought for myself. So I really wanted to have it. And I, you know, listening to it, new love for it, you know, understanding, deep dive into the sound, what have you. Well, as we're at this record store, she finds the albums of the other two cassettes that I bought at the same time.
Uh-oh.
She found Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion 1 and Use Your Illusion 2. But we weren't done.
Oh, really?
She also, actually, I found a record of the original animated How the Grinch Stole Christmas, with one side being the original narration by Boris Karloff, and the other side being all the songs.
Oh, that's cool.
And, of course, it's a green vinyl.
Of course, if it wasn't a green vinyl, it would be a mistake. You know how the Stone Temple Pilots album Purple is blue.
Stupid. dumbest thing ever. But anyway, I actually got to listen to that the other day, at least the music side of it. I'll listen to the actual story as we get closer to Christmas season, but I just wanted to listen to the music side of it.
Yeah.
But while we were searching through, we also found an original from 1964 Mary Poppins soundtrack.
Wow.
Few little small scratches on it, as we expected, since it's an original from 1964. But the jacket was, and it's one of the ones that opened.
Nice gatefold.
Yes, it has the whole story. It literally has the entire description of the whole movie written inside of it.
Oh, that's cool.
And for it being from 1964, it's not in bad condition with a few little scratches. I have not had the chance to listen to that one yet.
a lot of the time, what? I've actually seen ones. I've actually seen records that have had some scratches, some warps, that kind of stuff that look like they have warps on the warps and scratches on the record, and then they barely even show up, if at all.
Well, the other one I bought had a little. I did listen to, and it had a little bit of pop and crackle in a few places, but I chalked that up to the age of the record. And it's this one I haven't mentioned. I haven't said what it is yet, because while I was searching through, you know, this other section, I felt compelled to search in, of all places, the soundtrack section. Again, this is where I found Mary Poppins. I found something else. Now, while we were waiting for, while we were sitting in the theater waiting for Wakanda Forever, they have, you know, the things that, the real stuff that rolls ahead of time, you know, advertisements for things, you know, have your business meeting in a Cinemark movie theater, that kind of thing. But they often do trivia stuff, and this one trivia thing was having a celebrity talking to some web celebrity and asking the web celebrity trivia questions. And some of the trivia this set of trivia questions were songs from films, right? And so you know, it's the one would say the name of the song, and the other one had to figure out what film it was from. So like, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. What movie is that from?
Armageddon.
Very good.
Yeah, I had to think about that one for a second.
You had to think about that one?
It took me a minute. I had to think about, like, I knew which one it was. Like, it's that fucking one with Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler and the fucking meteor. Like, I had to think of, like, everyone, like, then Bruce Willis, and I was like, what was the name of the film? I couldn't remember the name. I knew the movie, I just didn't know the name.
Well, I don't remember all of them, but like I was in the process of eating while I was trying to watch it. So I wasn't, normally I would be answering, because I do that whenever there's trivia questions, I'm going to answer. And one of the questions stood out to me, because the question was, I Will Always Love You.
Right.
What movie is that from?
There's two of them.
There is.
Yeah.
Now the guy didn't know the answer. The web celebrity did not know the answer, which I was like, seriously? And so the other celebrity said it from The Bodyguard. And I looked over at my wife and
Who's the web celebrity?
I don't remember. Young. They were young.
Okay.
So they probably never saw The Bodyguard. But I look over at my wife and I said, that's the wrong answer. What's the right answer, Mike?
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
That is the right answer.
Yeah.
And so that happened.
I mean, you know, technically both of them technically count, but it originated from The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Well, because the person who sung it in that is also the one who wrote the damn thing.
Well, right, exactly. Didn't she write I Will Always Love You, though, and it came out on an album first, and then she put it in the movie?
Well, yes. She wrote it about a music partner that she had worked with before that she had to leave working with.
Yes.
That's what it was specifically written about. And then, yeah, she had it put in the movie. It's not in the original. The original Best Little Whorehouse in Texas was actually originally a stage play. And so, yeah, she had that song added in afterwards. This is one of my favorite movies of all time, to the point where if I ever have a chance to be in a production of it, if it's ever done on stage, or if there's a movie, I will fight for the role of Melvin P. Thorpe,
okay.
The role that Dom DeLuise plays in the movie. I want that role, one, because I want his songs.
Okay.
In from the movie, I want to sing those songs, but also that's the funnest role in the entire movie. That is the absolute best role in the movie. But I watched that movie hundreds of times when I was younger. And that is the soundtrack that I found sitting in the record store, an original version of that soundtrack. And we had just talked about it watching the movie Wakanda Forever. And we saw the thing. I didn't even have to say what movie it was from. I just looked at my wife and said, that's the wrong answer. And she just smiled because she knew what the right answer was. Now, what's interesting about that is we were watching this movie, right? This was on last Saturday that we were watching this movie. This was a few days, three, four days before what would have been my mother's birthday. I have not been able to watch Best Little Whorehouse in Texas for the last 10 years. since my mother passed away. This was one of her favorite movies. We would watch it, sing along with it. My dad's a huge Burt Reynolds fan. He also is a huge Dolly Parton fan. As far as he's concerned, that is when Dolly looked her very best. Because my dad will say it. Sorry, Dad. He's a boob guy. He likes himself some boobs. And Dolly has an impressive pair of boobs. So this was a movie that was ingrained in me with you know, my childhood. And specifically, the last two songs in the movie, Hard Candy Christmas and I Will Always Love You, have always been emotional songs for me, but since my mother passed away, I can't listen to them. I can't hear them because I can, but immediately I start in tears and I'm crying through the whole thing. Because they are emotional. I feel that emotional connection. That's one of those things that was mine and my mom's movie to watch together. And so it was like I was being spoken to. Had to get me the record. Had to get it. Again, I played it and had some crackles and pops. First side of the record, no problem. Second side of the record, no problem. Had a great time until the last two songs. Hard Candy Christmas, I got through. Somewhat. Cried a little bit.
Yeah.
Entire time through I Will Always Love You. But you know what? You know when I listened to it? I listened to it on my mom's birthday.
Oh, man.
First time I've listened to that song in its entirety in 10 years.
Good Lord, dude.
It was good, though. It was cathartic. It was a nice, healthy, cathartic cry 10 years later.
Wow.
Getting out some of that feeling, being able to enjoy it, and even crying, enjoying the music, the beauty and the mastery of that song, how emotional it is, how much better Dolly Parton sings it than Whitney Houston. I'm sorry, people can love the Whitney Houston version all they want to. Dolly Parton puts so much more emotion in it, you can feel like she's almost crying while she's singing the damn thing.
Yeah.
And that, you can't help but cry, too.
Yeah.
And I've always been emotional hearing those two songs. It's just more so because, again, all I can think about is thinking about my mom during those times. But it's a good thing. It's that, again, that catharsis moment to experience that and, you know, deal with it again. Great record, though. Great to have it. One of my favorite soundtracks of all time. But it was a wonderful find to have for that weekend. And then, you know, stopped by and saw some people. That's not important. Went home, had, you know, great rest of the week for the most part. Nothing else really major happened. But the record story doesn't end here with me. The record story continues.
Yes, it does.
With you.
Yes, actually. So, last night, funny enough, I was out with my wife, and we were doing our Thanksgiving prep shopping at Walmart. And we were kind of just...
To beat the fat rush.
Not that way, but yeah. No, the fat rush is different. It's different, James. See, because the context in which I'm saying it, I'm not being offensive.
Sure.
Okay, so anyway, so when we go to Walmart, Walmart has a vinyl section. I also do the same thing at Target or anywhere that has a vinyl section, like anywhere.
Especially with the exclusives, because what's nice about all those exclusives is... Mm-hmm. You don't get like, okay, I was mad when I got my Alanis Morissette and it didn't have the hidden track at the very end, mm-hmm. like the CD did, but you mm-hmm. can't do that in the same way.
Right.
But it's lovely having the different colored vinyl. It's just a neat thing to have.
It really is. It really is. Now, I'm not sure if I showed you, did I show you what I got there or did I just show you? I did send you a video. So I did send you the video. I wasn't sure.
Because, I mean, here's the thing. This is, I flippantly mentioned that we stopped by to see somebody, but it wasn't very important. I stopped by to see Mike. He had a cassette tape for me that he had very graciously grabbed a copy for himself and a copy for me when he had found them.
Yes.
And so I came to pick it up, reimburse him for it. Work out a deal for a future other thing from him. Which I part of the cleaning I was doing earlier that I told you about is prepping for that thing to come. It will be here soon. because I will make sure that we get that interaction taken care of.
Wonderful.
But
I appreciate it.
But one of the other reasons I stopped by was to all these records that I just listed off. Mike already knew about them because I stopped by and showed them to him right after I had bought them. Because this is our new shared love thing. We're going back and forth with the showing each other the records. When we find them, we're sending pictures or we're sending video or we're doing whatever. Same thing when I got my my Metallica stage set. I, you know, sending pictures back and forth. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And so you sent me a video.
I sent him a video of all of these records in our cart at Walmart, because we stopped by the Walmart vinyl section while we were out there doing our holiday shopping. Well, not holiday shopping, but, you know, Thanksgiving shopping.
Question.
Yes.
Do you have your wife trained to the point where she goes and checks the vinyl section for you?
No, because we rarely ever go shopping separately.
Separately.
I will go shopping for myself, and there is vinyl I know that she is looking for that I know to look for her. But that's because I recreationally go to record stores when I have the chance to. And she doesn't really. She only goes with me. So that's just kind of it. However, I will tell you, she is the one that pointed it out to me. I didn't even see it. We go out to the electronics. We're looking at other stuff, too. We're looking at, like, you know, camera lighting for our live streaming and stuff like that. And she turns the corner and she's like, honey, come here. And I was like, okay. So I turn the corner into the next aisle. And there is a sheet of paper printed at the record section, the vinyl section, saying all vinyl records $15 for clearance.
There's a lot of them on the website as well, in the app.
Yes,
they're also $15.
Yeah, I'm gonna go through some stuff and see what I can find, because
you know what they don't have available for $15 because it's already sold out.
What?
The Black Album.
You know what's really funny? The Walmart that I went to had a copy of the Black Album there. It also had the
what the problem is that my wife asked me last night if there when I looked for the Black Album, she asked me if you had said whether there was a Black Album there, and I'm like, he's not looking for that for me,
dude. I saw it there, and if you asked, I would have picked it up for you.
You had probably already been gone from the store at that point.
Ah, most likely. I mean, we were there for a while looking.
I'm mad because she was right. Yeah, no, I'm mad because she was right.
Ah,
and now I'm gonna have to figure out a way to get to that freaking Walmart and see if the Black Album is still there.
And I had to. You might be able to, because it's just hitting Reddit now. I'm part of a Reddit group. I'm in a Reddit group for vinyl. It just hit Reddit about the Walmart clearance. It's nationwide. Every single store. And I will say that there are some, I will give you a list after this episode is over personally, of the most of the ones with the best hauls that I've seen so far when it comes down to vinyl. But you might want to go take a trip to your local Walmart to see what they've got, because I didn't even know certain albums were out on vinyl that I got there that were Walmart exclusives. I picked up Korn's Follow the Leader. On Double Red, I picked up Third Eye Blind's debut album on Double Gold.
So the Korn one, maybe, although to be honest with you, my favorite Korn album is Issues, which is weird, I know, but
Issues is a great album,
but Issues is my favorite.
Yeah, Issues is a great album. I got Stone Temple Pilots Purple, even though it's blue, because it's on clearance. And there were System of a Down Toxicity. I picked up that one too.
Which, here's the thing.
I was all over that.
At $15, I would totally buy Toxicity. At $30, which I believe was the original price for it, I'm not going to buy Toxicity.
Oh, yeah.
I love Toxicity, but not enough for $30. For $15, hell yes.
And also Van Halen 1984. I picked that one up too.
I wouldn't buy that for $5.
Oh, I would. I picked up their debut album.
I don't like Van
special
Halen,
first
though.
Run. Yeah, well, I do.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't pay $5 for it, but you definitely would pay $15 for it. That's a steal for you.
Absolutely. Especially being that it was like 25 or some shit. But No, it was a $30 one. So yeah, I mean, definitely worth it.
You're not gonna pay $20 for Debbie Gibson's Electric Youth and Out of the Blue, but I will.
Yeah, I absolutely will not.
You probably don't even know the band The Nixons, and I'm willing to pay $20 for that record without a problem.
No, I'm not familiar with The Nixons. That's a
exactly.
So, but yeah, so there's that.
Which is, I mean, it was a great haul. I showed my wife, and she's like, "Well, I've told you about." By the way, her and I both knew about Follow the Leader, Core, and Toxicity. She's like, "I've told you about all of those ones before," and I'm like, "Yeah, but I didn't want to pay the full price for those." Mm-hmm. For the price he got a good price on those.
Yeah.
However, I do want to add, I did get to listen to Use Your Illusion 2. I gotta say, the side two of the second record is mm-hmm. like that's one of those that like I could just listen to side two listen to that one on repeat.
Oh yeah.
I mean, do you have that one yet on vinyl?
Which one was it?
Use Your Illusion 2?
No. You know what, man? I never really got into Guns N' Roses.
Okay. The last side, the final side of the albums.
Yeah.
I remember being at a house party with your band.
Uh-huh.
And arguing with a drunken former coworker, I believe of yours, about the album Appetite for Destruction being the best album ever and me just totally trashing it the entire time. And the guy was so drunk, all he could think to do was try to convince me that it was the best album ever. It was hilariously funny. Because he just would not stop. And admittedly, it has, I think, one of the best rock songs ever done. But still, I mean, it's a great debut album, I'll say that. But no, The final side of the record. Mm-hmm. These are the songs: Estranged, You Could Be Mine, Don't Cry, and My World. Now, My World isn't the best song, mm-hmm. but like Estranged, You Could Be Mine, and Don't Cry. That's like, I mean, admittedly, Sweet Child of Mine is probably one of the best songs ever, rock songs ever written. Every single instrument in that song is freaking fantastic. You can hear every instrument, and they do, they're amazing. The bass line is amazing. The guitar line is amazing. The guitar solos are amazing. Even the vocals are amazing. Even the part where they didn't know what to do with the song, so they literally wrote the lines, "Where do we go now?" because they didn't know what the fuck to do.
Okay,
even
that's funny.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's a great song, but I have the personal belief, and I will, you know, you're not going to convince me otherwise. I'm of the personal belief that Estranged is probably the height of Guns N' Roses songwriting. It's an amazingly beautiful song, so dynamic and so different from everything else.
I guess I'm going to have to hear it because I am not familiar with it.
And people argue like November Rain and stuff, whatever, overplayed. Still a great song, but overplayed. Estranged is just, it's got a different feel to it, different way of doing songs. I think it's one you could appreciate a little bit more. So I listened to Use Your Illusion 2, which back in the day was my favorite of the two albums. And I didn't remember why, I just remembered it was my favorite of the two albums.
Mm-hmm.
I tried listening to Use Your Illusion 1, and I realized that they never should have done Use Your Illusion 1. They just should have done Use Your Illusion 2, because, God, that album sucks. But I can't have one without the other.
Okay.
So, yeah, that makes sense. It'd be like having Load without Reload.
Fair.
But, yeah, just, you know, the things you find out when you do listen to something. Some things hold up listening to them years later, and other things you're like, why did I like that so much? That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It's like I remember listening to Dishwalla's album over and over and over again, and going back and listening to that album again, it's like there's only one even like kinda sorta okay song, and even that one is like Okay, so you count blue cars. What the fuck is that about? Oh, okay. You think that God might be a chick? Well, I don't think there is one, but sure, let it be a chick. That's fine with me. I'm good with that. It's not that novel an idea. I mean, there have been female deities throughout multiple religious beliefs for a long time, so whatever. But okay, if you think you're, you know, if you think you're being revolutionary with thinking of God as a chick, okay, cool. Go count your blue cars. But that's, you know, you have those moments. Then you have other moments where, you know, the things still live on and still give you the feeling. And, you know, yeah, I wouldn't want to have Use Your Illusion 2 and not have Use Your Illusion 1 in the collection. I do not have Appetite for Destruction because I don't really like that album. It's got a great song on it. But I don't really like that album. You know, it's, and then they've never made anything after Use Your Illusion 2 that's worth anything. The Spaghetti Incident, really? And then the Chinese Democracy, that's the next thing? Come on.
Dude, yeah, Chinese Democracy tanked hard. It was not great.
Did you listen to it?
It was, I gave it a spin because I was interested in if there was any major change, and no. I did not like it.
Absolutely awful.
Yeah.
But interesting, still love Slash and just about everything that he does. So, again, get a good lead singer and look what happens.
Right.
Yeah.
That guy saved, dude, Miles Kennedy saved two bands.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
I like that guy.
He's a damn good singer. Incredible singer.
Plus, one of the bands did the theme song for, one of my favorite wrestlers, so there's that.
Oh.
And it's got one of the coolest names for a song ever.
Which one's that?
Metalingus.
Oh, that was on their first album. I bought that album when it came out.
That's The Edge. WWE superstar The Edge.
Cool.
Adam Copeland.
Cool.
That is his entry music.
That's great.
And I think the only person who might have better entry music, just because it's kind of a non-competition thing, would mm-hmm. be Triple H.
Oh, Motorhead, right?
Well, it's not just it's. I don't know if it's Motorhead or if it's just Lemmy, but Lemmy wrote the song, I think, for him.
Oh yeah, The Game.
So yeah, so like if Lemmy writes a song for you, that kind of trumps just about everything else.
Oh yeah. Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, or you'd be like John Cena and write your own theme song, and that's just awful. But anyway, on to the wrestling discussion.
Yep. The song that's is by Motorhead.
It is Motorhead?
It okay. is Motorhead the band. Dope.
I just all know about that, it. Like, it's not my favorite Motorhead song by any stretch, but like, you know, you hear it and it's like, yeah, okay, it's time to play the yep. game. Thank you, Lemmy.
Yep, it's time.
But yeah. Anyway, that's our record story for the week. That's our other stories for the week. Do we have anything else?
I mean, not that I can think of at the moment.
I did finally give in to my wife's desire to have Christmas decorations outside. I purloined some from you. No, they're not out yet. Oh God, no, no, I haven't put them out yet.
Ah,
no, I have very strict policy about Christmas decorations. Mm-hmm. Christmas decorations are not allowed to happen until the day after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is too important a holiday. Although my wife went a little basic white girl, she bought a new door greeting things to hang on the door. Cause we have one of the hangers on the door where there's stuff hanging from there all the time. I got her to hang one that said welcome that just had like potion bottles. And she just kept it up all year round, even though it was supposed to be Halloween themed. I just thought it was kind of cool. So I kept it up all year round, but apparently she's going into she already got herself a small tree that sits on the table in between where my chair is and her corner of the couch is. She got herself a small tree that she decorates for every holiday. Okay. So, you know, like the cookie tins that like, you know, grandma's put like sewing stuff in.
Yeah.
We save the cookie tins for her to have for each of the, cause it's a little tiny tree. It's like a 2 foot tall tree. Mm-hmm. So she buys miniature ornaments for or she buys things that she can turn into ornaments for each holiday. So and she started this last year after Christmas. So at Valentine's Day, there were like little hearts and things on it, for Leprechaun Day. Funny that works out that way, right, Mike?
Shut up.
For that day, there was like gold coins on it and stuff like that. All through June, it was rainbow. So I applaud her for that one. So she does different things. I figured we should put firecrackers on it and light it on fire for 4th of July. She did not like that idea. She was very, very, she's like, no, it's my tree.
No.
So, but it had Halloween stuff on it. The Halloween stuff was taken off on November 1st and November 1st. The Thanksgiving stuff was put on it, the fall harvest stuff. And so she's trying to branch out, something that I've stopped her from doing, which is like the full on decoration for every holiday. Mm-hmm. I minimized it to like just Halloween and Christmas, but the tree was the start. Now she's trying to get the hanging door greeting things. And she got one the other day. She brought it home, showed it to me, and quickly put it on the front door before I really could say anything about it. And it was, I wanted to say something, but I also did not want to get hit. Because it was about the most basic white girl thing that I could think of, because it said family fun football.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny.
All I'm waiting for is to come down and her having transitioned away from wearing Crocs to wearing Ugg boots and sitting around drinking pumpkin spice lattes. Although she did buy this weekend, she did buy finally two pairs I think at TJ Maxx, actually found two pairs of the Markdown. They're usually like 50% off from the normal price. Markdown Crocs that have the lining inside.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She had been resisting. I don't want to wear those. It seems like they'd feel weird on your feet. I'm like, you need to try some. Found them there. Said, try it on. Just try it on. It's in your size. Try it on. She put her foot in. She goes, my feet are warm. They're super soft. They're even more comfortable than normal Crocs. I'm like, I know. Because I have four pair. Three that I've worn regularly. Four pair? No, I have five pair. Four that I've worn regularly. And then I have my fifth pair, which are my ugly Christmas sweater pair that also have Grinch on it. That I bought after Christmas last year and I haven't had a chance to wear yet because I have to wait till day after Thanksgiving to wear them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lined Crocs.
Yeah.
Have you seen my ugly Christmas sweater ones? Did I send you pictures of those ones?
No, I have not seen the Christmas sweater Crocs.
Dude, I am sending you a picture of that tonight.
Okay.
But anyway... she put that one up, but I the thing I gave into is she's always wanted to do, like I said, the outside decorations for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some lights from you. We got some other lights. I don't know if those are going to go outside or go inside. We're still debating on those ones. But the other ones, she got like the net style that you can put over bushes. So luckily she's not going to try to get me, to hang lights like around the edge of the building, because that ain't gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't getting on ladders to do that. I'm not a ladder person. Most of them I'm beyond the weight rating for anyway, so we just stay safe.
Jeez.
I'm being honest.
I know you are.
But what I did agree to this year finally was inflatables. The inflatable Christmas decorations for outside.
Okay.
I agreed to a few of those. Now, she was kindly trying to get Star Wars ones for me, and I appreciated that thought. But I didn't want to make it just about me. I wanted it to be more Christmassy. And Star Wars, they make all the Star Wars Christmas stuff, but Star Wars really isn't Christmassy. It's just marketing because they want to sell as much shit as possible. I wanted something that was actually really Christmassy, but actually was very me. Okay. So instead, we ended up with the Grinch and Max, his dog.
Well, of course.
Which is me, but it's also totally Christmassy.
Oh, yeah.
like full on Christmassy.
Yeah.
So we have an inflatable of Grinch and the Grinch and Max to be able to go in the front yard. So that will be the beginning of it, and I'm sure that over the next couple of years it will grow in size and proportion. But you know, you finally give in to some of these things after so many years. You know, she buys me the records. She's on the lookout for them. I guess I can let her have inflatables. It's what you got to do.
Yeah.
So, I think that's all we have for you today. Like I said, we may not be here next week. But if we are, Mike, where are people going to listen to us?
Well, you could be hearing us on our website, thezenniochronicles.com. And if you are, please leave a comment. Let us know. As well, you could be listening to us on most other major podcast platforms. And I'm not sure if you can comment on those. I don't think you can. I don't know how those exactly work. I don't do a lot of podcast listening on separate platforms myself. But when I do, most of the time I'm listening to stuff on YouTube, which you can find us there as well. Make sure if you haven't seen this, search for the Zennial Chronicles on YouTube to make sure that you find us there. Check out our channel. You might be listening to this podcast in video format. If you are, make sure you go underneath that video and click the like button. And next to that, hit the subscribe button. And by the way, leave a comment as well to let us know that you're listening to us on YouTube if you are. But next to that subscribe button, there is also something else. What is that, James?
Please click the bell. Go click the bell.
Oh my God.
I know I'm a little bit
that
early,
was,
but
no,
come on.
Dude, to the tune of Carol of the Bells, that is the most fitting way that you could have done that. I'm impressed.
I know.
I'm impressed.
Make sure you click about it the whole time.
Yes. Make sure you click that bell so you get notified the next time we actually have a video or a podcast or whatever. We don't even know what we're doing for the holiday season yet.
Other than, of course, you know, eating turkey and homemade pumpkin pie. Yes. We have to make two in our family, by the way.
Ooh.
One for my oldest son and one for the rest of the people.
Ooh.
Because he needs his pumpkin pie. Because he'll have about a quarter of it after Thanksgiving dinner. And then, like, the next morning, he'll have another quarter for breakfast.
Oh.
And another quarter for dinner. Like, pumpkin pie is his jam. The only thing he likes better than pumpkin pie is probably... No, I can't even think of anything he likes better than pumpkin pie. That's, like, his favorite dessert ever. So, yeah, Thanksgiving is the holiday he looks forward to for multiple reasons. But the biggest thing is he loves turkey. He steals all of the turkey skin because that's what he's going to have.
Fair.
And then the pumpkin pie. He's got to have his own pumpkin pie because he's going to put that stuff back. But pumpkin pie and then beautiful creation, cheesecake. Okay, follow me on this. Cheesecake topped with brownies.
Yes.
With a healthy drizzle of caramel sauce and sprinkled with nuts. That's the other dessert we're having on top of the, that one's not homemade. That one is store-bought.
Oh.
But still, we don't do the store-bought pumpkin pies because my wife makes really, really good homemade pumpkin pies. And then of course the normal Thanksgiving stuff have to have that. Look forward to it every year. Gotta have it. Anyway, while you're listening to us, maybe on Thanksgiving, maybe you introduce your family to us. That will cause some interesting Thanksgiving conversation, but hey, isn't that what happens on Thanksgiving anyway? If you need to calm the mood after people have been listening, like, what the hell is that fat guy saying? And the ginger one, what is wrong with him? No soul. while that's happening, check out Mike's other two YouTube pages. He has his page that he works on with his wife, Chronosode Games. As you heard him talk about, they're looking for new lighting and new cameras for their stuff because they are back up and running doing their games. Check them out on YouTube. Like, subscribe, and again, click that bell. And then Mike's other YouTube page.
Yeah.
Ruling Note Music, where he... Did you put the video on Ruling Note Music? Is that where it's on YouTube?
Yes, that is what it is on.
Where Mike, having had the experience last weekend of doing a yard sale, which is why he had to mention it, decided to make a new video, a new music video.
Yeah.
Taking a beloved Metallica tune and working through his yard sale issues with that tune. Check that out. Like, subscribe, yeah. Click the bell on that. It's actually flipping amazing. He does a fantastic job with it. When he sold the idea to me, sending me lyrics to it, I was just like, this is amazing. I want to be a part of this. I didn't get on the ball and get a part of it fast enough, because he was just fast little bunny, get this thing done, because it was in his brain and he needed it out there. And it's, hey, I'm not going to argue, it was damn good. I don't know that I would have made it better. I just would have enjoyed being able to look at my stupid face doing stupid things. But he did fan-freaking-tastic. Go check this out.
Thank you, okay? sir, very much.
So that'll definitely lighten the mood for the family after you've made them listen to us. Thank you for listening again, and hopefully we'll see you again either next week or the week after.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.